RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. I've got a story from the Columbia Workshop for you this week, a series that debuted in July of 1936, aired until April of 1947. Over 370 episodes were broadcast over CBS Radio. Our story today is A Night at an Inn. This one aired May 23rd, 1947.
Radio Bureau, New York. John D. Rockefeller, Sr., who was long considered one of the three wealthiest men in the world, and who died at his Ormond Beach estate in Florida early this morning, is to be buried at Cleveland, where he began his business career back in 1855. Mr. Rockefeller's son, John D. Jr., made arrangements at the family estate at Tarrytown for funeral services there, which will follow the arrival of the body from Florida in a special railway car on Tuesday. The body then will be sent on to Cleveland for the final burial rites. Mr. Rockefeller's end came quickly and peacefully in his sleep when none of his immediate family was present. His death was unexpected because he had been his usual active and cheerful self up to the last 24 hours when he complained of feeling tired. Last night, the elder Rockefeller, who had nearly reached the age of 98, dropped into a coma, but revived after 2 o'clock and asked his nurse to raise him a little higher. And those were his last audible words. The end came just before dawn. When near death, according to the Rockefeller servants, Mr. Rockefeller did not appear to realize that the end was near. His physician, Dr. Henry L. Meriday, arrived at the bedside at 3:30 a.m., but the oil magnate never returned to consciousness. Some years ago, Mr. Rockefeller had transferred the bulk of his immense fortune to his charitable foundations and to his son, John D., and others among his family and friends. So the federal government and state governments are expected to profit little in inheritance taxes from his passing. Mr. Rockefeller had already given away to worthy causes $535 million, but the final total may reach $1 billion. The oil king's great fortune was formerly rated as the second largest in the world, and his income derived from corporations capitalized at $5.5 billion was about $50 million a year. This income, however, is already controlled by others. One of Mr. Rockefeller's favorite jokes was that he believed he would become a pretty fair golfer in time if his money only held out. He'll be remembered by thousands for his gifts of shiny new dimes, which he gave away to children and practically everyone he met as souvenirs. This bulletin is from the Press Radio Bureau. Further details will be found in your newspaper. Ladies and gentlemen, with the death of John D. Rockefeller at 5:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time this morning, there came to an end the career of the amazing man who represented more than any one person the period of expansion and industrial development which made America the richest nation in the world, and John D. Rockefeller one of the richest men in the world. This evening at 10:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time, over many of these same stations, Columbia will review for you the panorama of a past era. John D. Rockefeller, a study in American history.
The Columbia Workshop, under the direction of Irving Reese, present A Night at an Inn by Lord Alfred Dunsany. night on a bleak English moor. Only a shrill wind disturbs the silence of the dark. The flat, desolate plain is broken by an old inn, protruding from the earth like the last tooth of a witch. Inside the inn, four men sit. One apart, three huddling together, as if proximity will ease the fear of night.
The guy calmly sits there reading his blooming paper. What's his idea, I wonder?
I don't know any more than you know, Snake.
Well, how much longer will he keep us here?
Ask him. Been here 3 days already.
Yes, and we ain't seen a soul. Yeah, this place gives me the creeps, Bill.
Yeah. Just the four of us alone in a godforsaken deserted pub on the moors, miles from anywhere.
Yes, it cost him a pretty penny when he rented this place.
Cost us, you mean?
Yes, that's right.
We come out of the money we get for the ruby.
If we ever sell it.
If we ever sell it.
How long did he rent this tavern for?
I don't know.
I'll ask him. How long did you rent this here tavern for, Toffee?
He don't take no notice. He's such a toff.
Yes, he'll sit there all night with his racing paper and take about as much notice as us as if we were a couple of chairs.
Yeah. He's clever, no mistake.
Yes, these clever ones are the beggars to make a muddle. Their plans are clever enough, but they don't work. And when they make a mess of things, it's much worse than it was if it was you and me. Blimey, this is a lonely place, ain't it?
Well, it ain't the kind of a place I want to stay in long, too. Well, he's a gentleman out, Paul, he is. He knows what he's doing.
Yes?
He's watching us here so those three heathen priests what's looking for us so hard won't find us.
There ain't no sense to it.
Hello. Albert's woke up. We thought perhaps you'd been making up your mind to spend the rest of the month sleeping, Albert.
I haven't been sleeping. I've been listening, I have. There ain't no need to spend any more time in this blasted place if he's worried about them heathen priests the finding of us here.
Now, why not?
Because I gave the black beggars the slip in hell.
You gave them the slip, Albert?
Yes, I did. All three on them. Them shiny evens with gold spots on their foreheads. I had to run like anything. But I finally give them the slip.
How did you do it, Albert?
Well, I had the ruby, and they was a following of me.
Who told them you had the ruby?
You didn't show it, did you, Albert?
Of course I didn't show it. Did I look balmy?
Then who told them that you had it?
Nobody told them. But they kind of knowed.
They kind of knowed?
Yes. It's uncanny how they knows, but they does.
Well, what happened?
Well, they sort of mooched on to me, like.
Yes.
Pretending they was just walking along by chance, see? Oh, I soon spotted them now.
Did you run?
Not at first. I stops a policeman and tells him about them. Tells him they was dangerous characters what wouldn't think twice of sticking a knife into you in some dark alley.
What did he say?
He laughed at me. Said they was only three poor black beggars who wouldn't hurt a fly. Wouldn't hurt a fly, I thinks. Remember what they done in Malta to poor old Jim?
Yes. They ripped him up till he looked like... Well, I don't even want to think about it.
It was the odd eyes they used on George in Bombay before they killed him.
Don't talk about it, will you? Well, what'd you do then, Bert?
Well, I walks up and down through hell. Miles and miles. And I walked slow enough. But they was out of me like a mouse out of cheese.
Yes.
Finally, I turns a corner and I runs. I was tired. But I run as I'd never run before in my life.
You shook him off, didn't you?
So wait a minute, can't you? I'm telling you what's happened. I turns the corner and I runs. Then I turns the next corner. And the next. So they thinks I'm turning every corner. Then I lets a corner pass. That's to fool them, see? And I twist about like an air. And then I sit down and wait. No priest, no.
Well, what happened then?
I give them the slip. When I sit down in hell, finally, there wasn't no even black devils with gold spots on their faces. Yes, little Albert had given them the slip.
Well done, Al.
Well, why didn't you tell us before you took your 40 winks?
Because his highness over there won't let you speak. He's got his plans, and he thinks we're dirt.
Albert, what did you do with that ruby?
Give it to Torfey. He didn't say a word.
He wants things done his way.
Yes. He might have had one of them crooked knives in his gizzard afore now if I hadn't given the slip in hell. He's got me to thank for being able to sit here in comfort 80 miles away from them evens.
Well done, Albert.
Cheer that, Toffee. Albert, give him a slip.
Yes, I hear.
Well, what do you say to it?
Oh, well done, Albert.
Yeah. And what are you going to do?
Going to wait.
I don't quite know what we're waiting for. Don't think he knows either.
Yes, it's a nasty place.
Getting silly, Snickers. Our money's gone, and he wants to sell the ruby. Let's get on to a town.
But Toffee's got the ruby.
Well, let's get it from him and leave this place.
But he won't come, Bill.
Won't he?
If he won't, we'll leave him.
It'll be all right if we keep away from home.
Yes, we'll go to London.
But he must have his share.
All right, only let's go. Where are you going, Jimmy? Toffee, come on, give us that ruby.
Certainly, here it is.
Get his waistcoat pocket. Get it, Snickers.
All right.
I'll have it now.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Dummy, I have to gasp every time I see it. Look, it's as big as an hen's egg.
Roof. I don't suppose there's a bigger ruby in the world.
God, it's a beauty.
Well, come on, Albert.
He's going back to his paper again.
All right, Snickers. Come in, Bill.
In a minute. I want to have a last word with Toffee.
Well, catch up with us. We're going to hurry.
Right, sir. Why don't you chuck all this silly waiting about, Toffee, and come with us?
I know what I'm doing, Bill.
And I'll be hanged if we do. 3 days and nothing's happened. We're safe enough. Didn't you hear Albert say he gave him the slip and null?
I'm not a fool, Bill.
No, of course not. Of course you aren't. And you've helped a lot. Toffee.
Well?
You'll say goodbye.
No, yes. Goodbye.
We'll save your share, Toffee. We won't forget what you've done for us.
Thank you.
You'd better take out your revolver, Toffee. Just in case, you know.
I know.
We've come back, Toffee.
So you have.
Toffee, how did they get here?
They walked, of course.
But it's 80 miles.
Did you know they was here, Toffee?
Expected them about now.
80 miles?
Toffee, old man. What are we to do?
Ask Albert.
But if they can do anything like this to us, there's no one can save us but you. I always knew you were a clever one. We won't be fools anymore. We'll obey you, Toffee.
You're brave enough and strong enough. There isn't many that would steal a ruby eye out of an idol's head, and such an idol as that was to look at, and on such a night. You're brave enough, Bill, but you're all three of you fools. Jim would have none of my plans, and where's Jim? And George? What did they do to him?
Oh, don't, Toffee.
Well, then your strength is no use to you. You want cleverness. Or they'll have you the way they had George and Jim. These black priests would follow you around the world in circles, year after year, till they got their idol's eye. And if we died with it, they'd follow our grandchildren. Albert thinks he can escape men like that by running round three streets in the town of Hull.
God's truth. Well, you haven't escaped them, because they're here,
so
outside.
So I supposed.
You suppose?
Yes, I believe there's no announcement in the society papers, but I took this country seat especially to receive them. There's plenty of room, if you dig. It's pleasantly situated, and what is most important, it is in a very quiet neighborhood.
Well, you are a deep one.
And remember, you've only my wits between you and death. And don't put your futile plans against those of an educated gentleman.
If you're a gentleman, why don't you go about among gentlemen instead of the likes of us?
Because I was too clever for them, and I'm too clever for you.
Too clever for them.
I never lost a game of cards in my life.
You never lost a game?
Not when there was money in it.
There.
Have a game of poker?
No.
Then do as you're told.
All right, Toffee.
I saw something at the window just then. Hadn't we better draw them curtains?
No.
Why?
Don't draw the curtains.
All right.
But, Toffee, they can see us. I don't see why we shouldn't draw the curtains.
No, of course you don't.
All right, Toffee. But I'm going to take out my revolver.
Those ways.
Yes, best to be on the safe side.
No revolvers, please.
Why not?
Because I don't want any noise at my party. We might get guests that haven't been invited. Knives, now. They're a different matter.
All right, knives it is.
Don't draw yet. Give me the ruby, Albert.
Oh. Certainly, Toffee. Here you are.
Thank you.
I think they're coming, Toffee.
Not yet.
When will they come?
When I'm quite ready to receive them, not before.
Now, I should like to get this over.
Should you? Then we'll have them now.
Now?
Yes. Listen to me. You shall do as you see me do. You will all pretend to go out. I'll show you how. I've got the ruby. When they see me alone, they will come for their idol's eye.
How can they tell like this? Which of us has it?
I confess I don't know, but they seem to have no trouble doing it.
Well, what will you do when they come in?
I shall do nothing.
What?
They will creep up behind me. Then my friends, Sniggers and Bill and Albert, who gave them the slip, will do what they can.
All right, Dorothy. Trust that.
If you're a little slow, you will see enacted the cheerful spectacle that accompanied the demise of Jim in Malta.
Don't, Toffee, don't. We'll be there, all right.
Very well. Now listen carefully. I shall continue to sit here with my back to the door. You three will walk over to the side door one by one. Open it and go into the hall for a moment. And then, instead of shutting the door behind you, you will crawl back into the room on your knees. And shut it from the inside. Keep below the level of the window. Is that clear?
Yes. I'll go fast.
Keep down, Sniggers. That's it. Now slam the door. Do the same thing, Albert.
All right. Here I go.
Sniggers. Crawl behind the armchair to the right of me. Crawl over to Sniggers, Albert. You're the last, Bill. Let him see you leave the room. Crouch below the level of the window, Bill. Right. Crawl over near the table and watch the door. Now you've all gone out except me, so far as our friends can make out.
Shall we use our knives, Toffee?
Yes, but remember, no revolvers under any circumstances. The police are proverbially inquisitive.
Righto, Toffee.
Now, quiet, everyone. Watch the door.
It's opening.
It's one of them priests. Carty,
good. Keep down low.
There's only one door. What shall we do?
Only one?
Yes. Will you take your nose out of your blinking paper and tell me what to do?
Wait a moment. Let me think.
Well, hurry up about it.
Ah, yes. Go back to your former position, Bill. You must attract another guest.
Now, are you ready?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pretend that the priest stabbed me
You will now see my demise at my Yorkshire residence. You must receive my guests for me. I'm going to leap up in full view of the window and the beggars outside, and then fall on the floor and pretend to be dead. Ready?
Fire!
Now watch. I'll throw my arms up and in my best manner simulate the movements of a gentleman receiving a knife in his back.
Now watch the door again. Here's another. It's my turn. Number two.
We got two, Toffee.
There's still another. What should we do? Let me think.
This is the best way. Much.
Out of the question. Never play the same game twice.
Why not, Toffee?
Doesn't work if you do.
What then?
I have it. Albert, you will now pretend to come back into the room, crawl through the open door, and when you get into the hall, stand up and enter as usual.
Then what?
Just run over to the window here and have a fight with these two, please.
With Toffee? They're dead.
Yes, they're dead, my perspicacious Albert, but Bill and I are going to resuscitate them. Come on, Bill. Crawl over here and help.
Fighter.
Now, pick up one of the bodies. Come on. That's it. That's it.
Hold him in. Hold him in front of the window as I'm doing.
Right, Tommy.
Good. Now, crawl out, Albert, and come walking in upright immediately.
All right.
Don't raise your head above the window, Bill. When Albert comes in, wave the arms of the dead body as though he were struggling with them.
Here I am.
Struggle with them, Albert. That's it. Now pretend he'll kill you. Over you go. Our Albert is slain. Now everybody keep absolutely still. Don't move a muscle. He should be along any second now.
All right, Hunter. Hit him! Well, he's done for, and that ends the three of them.
Good day's work, my friend.
Well done, Toffee. Oh, you are a deep one.
Lemmy, a deep one if there ever was one.
There ain't no more Toffee, is there?
No more in the world, my friend.
Aye, that's all there are. There were only three in the temple. Three priests and a beastly idol.
Say, Toffee.
Yes?
What's that there ruby worth? Is it worth £1,000?
It's worth all they've got in the shop. Worth just whatever we'd like to ask for it.
Then we're millionaires now.
Yes. Yes, and what is more important, we no longer have any heirs.
We ain't got no heirs. We'll have to sell it now.
Yes, and that won't be easy. A pity it ain't small, and we had half a dozen on him. Hadn't he hardly any other on him?
No. He was green jade all over, and only had this one eye. He had it right in the middle of his forehead. It was a long sight uglier than anything else in the world.
I'm sure we ought all be very grateful to Toffee.
Yes, if it hadn't been for him.
Yes, if it hadn't been for old Toffee, we'd have been finished.
Hey, now, she's a deep lady.
Well, that's all right.
You see, I just have the knack of foreseeing
things. I should think you did, my
dear. Well, I don't suppose anything happens that our Toff doesn't foresee, does it, Toffee?
He's all right.
Well, I don't think it does, Bill. I don't think it does.
Life is no more than just a game of cards to our old Toff.
Yes,
what? Well, we've taken these fellows sick.
Where should we put them? It wouldn't do for anyone to see them.
Oh, no, nobody will come this way. We're all alone on a moor.
What shall we do with them?
Bury them in the cellar. But there's no hurry.
And what then, Tom?
Then we'll go to London and upset the ruby business. We've really come through this job very nicely.
I think the first thing we ought to do is give a little supper to old Toffee. We'll bury these fellas tonight.
Yes, let's do that.
That's the very
idea.
We will.
And we'll all drink his health.
Yes, blimey, we will. Get out, Toffee.
He ought to have been a general or a premier, didn't he?
Yes.
Let's get out the scotch.
Yes, that's a good idea, too.
Well, we've earned our bit of supper.
Fill him up, Sniggers.
All right. Stay when. Stay when, Albert.
It's all right.
Stay when, Bill.
It's all right. Here, Toffee. Yeah. Here's the old Toffee who gets everything.
Good old Toffee.
Toffee, you saved our lives and made our fortune.
He's clever, all right.
Here he is.
And here's the three of you who saved my life twice tonight.
Couldn't have done it but for your cleverness, Toffee.
Here he is. He foresees everything.
A speech, Toffee.
Come on, a speech.
Well, get me some water. Whiskey's too much for my head, and I must keep it clear till our friends are safe in the cellar.
Get him some water.
All right. Where shall I get it?
Outside in the car.
Right, I'll back in a second.
Well, here's the fortune.
Here's the Albert Thomas, Esquire.
Albert Thomas, Esquire.
And William Jones, Esquire.
William Jones, Esquire.
William Jones,
Esquire. Hello. Here's Jacob Smith, Esquire, J.P., alias Sniggers, back again.
Toffee, I've been thinking about my share in that ruby. I don't want it, Toffee. I don't want it.
Nonsense, Sniggers. Nonsense.
You shall have it, Toffee. You shall have it yourself. Only say that Sniggers didn't have no share in this here ruby. Now, say it, Toffee. Say it.
You want to then inform us, Sniggers?
No. Only, I don't want the ruby, Toffee.
No more nonsense, Sniggers. We're all together in this. If one hangs, we all hang. But they won't outwit me. It's not a hanging affair. They had their knives.
Toffee, now, I've always treated you fair, Toffee. I was always one to give Toffee a chance. Take back my share, Toffee.
What's the matter? What are you driving at?
Take it back, Toffee.
Answer me, what are you up to?
I don't want my share no more.
Have you seen the police?
If you have.
Put your knife back, Albert.
Well, what shall we say?
The honest truth, in open court, not mentioning the ruby. You were attacked.
But there ain't no police.
Well, then, what's the matter?
Out with it.
I swear to God.
Well?
Don't interrupt.
I swear I saw something that I didn't like.
That you didn't like?
Oh, Toffee, take it back. Come on, take my share. Say you'll take it back.
What did he see?
Great heavens. What is it, Toffee? What is it, Toffee?
Idol.
That bleeding idol came from India. He's looking for his eyes. Throw it to the idol, Toffee, quick. You found it. It's taken its eye. It wanted its eye. That's all.
We're saved.
Albert. What is it? Something's pulling me. Something's making me walk. Edmund, stop it.
Come back, Bill. Don't go. Don't go, Bill.
I can see through the window. I can see it.
What is it, Sniggers?
It's gone.
What was it, Sniggers?
I've seen it.
What?
I've seen it.
Peter, Albert, Thomas, Abel, Stephen.
Toffee. Mr. Idol, Toffee. Help me. Don't move, Albert. Don't move, Toffee. Something's pulling me. Save me.
I can't go, Toffee. Help me, Toffee. Help me.
The Columbia Workshop has presented as its 40th program in a series of experimental radio dramas, Lord Alfred Dunsany's famous play, A Night at an Inn. Irving Reese arranged and directed the production. The cast consisted of Alfred Shirley as Toffee, Lewis Hector as Sniggers, Santos Ortega as Bill, Eustace Wyatt as Albert, Guy Repp as the voice. Tune in next week for another workshop presentation. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There's more from the Columbia Workshop, Strange Tales, and all of the other Relic Radio podcasts at relicradio.com. Got a shoutcast stream running for you there as well, with even more old-time radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you'd like to help support it all, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.